You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We are here in sunny Cocoa, Florida, and we have an action-packed show today on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We have my good friend Ellen Little is here, and she's doing
another
work
happy
behind
Monday.
The scenes.
Yes, right.
She's always working for the show.
So I would like to start out the show by just congratulating you. Sita was recognized as a volunteer at the Brevard Walk of Fame, which was on February 23rd. She had a very busy weekend, but it was such an honor to have them not just recognize you, but certainly talk about all the things that you contribute to the community. So congratulations. Your family was all there.
Yes.
I saw, well, not your whole family, because we know how many people Sita has in her family. But,
thank you. And I was honored to meet Ed and Cheryl Scott as well. I've met them before, but when you see people like them, they were given an honorary award, and they talked about all the philanthropic stuff they do for the community. And my God, they traveled to Africa and all over the places and brought, you know, such joy to people with their, you know, the money that they make. They just don't keep it for themselves.
Yes.
They share it with others and bring joy to so many people. And, you know, they talked about the environmental concerns and things like that. And I was so honored just to be in their company, you know. And, of course, you for being part of the nomination committee as well.
It's igniting night.
Yeah.
It was an igniting night.
Thank you.
So congratulations. And congratulations to Jasmine, who I know doesn't want me to say anything about the fact that she had a great party this weekend.
Yes,
so
she
another
did.
Great.
She's kind of shy. She's not she like
is
her mother,
shy.
Is she?
I know.
Yeah. Kind of weird that right. I have kids who are totally opposite me.
Well, they're not totally opposite. They just don't like the notoriety that you get. Let's put it that way.
Well, anyway, so we have a really good show today for our friends who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Our good friends from the Banyan Estate is here. Tom and Joanne is here.
Hi, Sita.
Thank
We're
you.
Really honored to be here today.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know your last name, isn't that? And I've talked
Murdoch.
Yeah, but, Murdoch. Like Murdoch, like the place in Cocoa Village.
Yeah. Well, it's like
I thought about
sort of,
that.
You know, but with it's an H on the end instead of a K. So, it's
so
a
Murdoch,
bit,
yeah. but it says the
That's
same
okay.
way.
I can stop calling him Tom Banyan now.
Yeah.
Tom Banyan. There you go.
That's what we put in our phones. That's Joanne right. Banyan. Yeah. Tom
yeah.
Banyan.
I love it.
And
it's happy funny to have how you. Those things go.
Yeah,
thank
but you know, it's really it's better to put it like that, because then you remember where you actually met the person, right? Everybody does it now, I think.
I agree.
And then Ellen, our first segment, if Mrs. I'm not sure if it's a Mrs., but I'll say Dr. Shawnee Duperron is calling in. She's going to be calling him to speak about. She's got a PhD in gossip and social media, and she has reached a topping 100 million per month. Listeners or people that views her page or just tune in to listen to her on her Facebook Live. She's a six-time Emmy winner, featured in medical Nurse Sita, come to earth.
I know.
Major media, including CNN, Inc. Magazine, and USA Today. And I think she's on the phone. I am so honored and privileged to have her call in. I'm pinching myself. After I read all about her this morning, I said, Dr. Shawnee Duperron, my God, this is amazing.
And so, I want to know how you get a PhD in that. I'm ready. I'm ready to sign up.
Yes. Thank you so much for calling in. I was just telling them when I spoke to you, I know that normally you do shows that have a much larger audience. And Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here in sunny Cocoa, Florida, in Brevard County, we're just honored to have you call in.
Well, you know, after I connected with you, I was like, oh my gosh, this woman is so exquisite. How could I not go on her show? Oh.
Well,
and you were
you.
So right about that.
I know.
That you're so.
I know.
We totally love Sita.
Well, we have in studio with us, we have
Tom and Joanne, and they have a venue here called the Banyan, and my daughter is actually getting married in May at their venue, and so they're also our sit-down in-studio guests today, and we were just talking about you, and Tom said, wow, this is amazing. We're in really great company.
And you know what? The Banyan must be exquisite if you're allowing your daughter to get married there, because our daughters are so precious, aren't they?
They are.
And we get really picky when we pick things, and wow, that's so beautiful that they're on the show with you today, too. How amazing.
Thank you. And Jasmine actually fell in love with the venue, and she spoke to Joanne, and she was sold. Joanne was so kind to her and so compassionate, and spoke with her about all the ins and outs of a wedding, you know, the cost and the venue, and helped her to choose certain things. And Jasmine said, that's the place I want to go. Sometimes it's just the kindness of the people and how they speak to you, too. So much respect, you know, so we were
absolutely
very touched.
Energy, and it just kerplunks. It's not always about the venue. It's about the people that you connect with, and you feel preciously held for a very sacred event. And, you know, like, birds of a feather flock together, baby.
That's right. So I was at the gym this morning, and I was watching your video, and two of the ladies next to me in the gym were watching it as well, and they're like, who is that woman? And I said, well, she's calling into my show today. And we started talking about things, and I said, well, you know, she touched on so many things that Ellen Little, my co-host, and I always speak about on our show. We always speak about faith and family and a little food and a little finances, and we always throw in the ability to forgive. And so when I told a woman next door to me, she says, I'm tuning in today. So that was kind of nice. So I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you started Project Forgive.
You know what? You know how that got started? Started as that wasn't the intention. I was rolling and rocking and rolling along in my career, my business. And then a dear friend of mine, his family was killed by a drunk driver. And it was one of those days, it was like the pricklies. And I remember my daughter Autumn, calling me and saying, this man, Tom, hit the family of three. And she said, Mom, you got to do something about this. So we knew the woman who, my children babysat her children, and then we all knew the.
Shawnee, are you on a cell phone? Because we seem to be losing you.
Move so you can get me. Yeah.
I should say Dr. Shawnee. I'm sorry. Yeah. Are you on maybe if you just change your location, because for some reason your phone is cutting in and out, and we don't want to lose any precious seconds with you.
Oh, and I'm so sorry, and I would have prepared better, but I didn't with the phone. You forgive me.
That's okay. Well, we will forgive you.
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. So, the bottom line was this: a dear friend of ours, his family was killed by a drunk driver. And the woman who was killed, Judy, she was my husband's business coach. My children babysat her children.
Yes.
And when we found out they were killed by a drunk driver, it was devastating. And then to find out later that day that the man who killed them is also a dear family friend. And it's like, oh, my goodness. Forgiveness has always been a part of my consulting and training, taking risks as a leader, and how quickly can you forgive yourself. And I remember my daughter saying to me, oh, my goodness, Mom, you got to do something. And so we did a little video on forgiveness. And, of course, it went viral. We raised $100,000 to do a little documentary on it. And I said, there's something more to this than just doing a documentary. This is more about my life's work, and I got so inspired by it that I just kept going. And now we reach hundreds of millions a month, and we do all free services. We make a difference in mental health and bringing and building families and communities together, really focusing on veterans and kids at risk. If someone would have told me this 10 years ago I'd be doing this, I'd say, nah.
Well, it's almost like that video when you made it and it went viral. People saw something that we need in our nation right now. We need people who are real and people who speak with us from the heart about, you know, honesty and truth and how to look out for each other and actually be thy brother's keeper for real. And I think that's what you touch on so many people, because we speak about forgiveness. But, you know, being a long-term care nurse, I have seen so many people that left this planet from their earthly journey, and they did not reconcile with family and friends, and they literally die alone because of some incident that probably happened, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago in their life, and no one took the time to reach out to each other and say, I am sorry.
Oh, you are so spot on. If I even think I can love you even more, Sita, especially being a nurse, because nurses are probably the most compassionate healers on the planet. And you are spot on with the authenticity of it, because sometimes with forgiveness, we go into the righteousness of it, we go into the religion of it, and we're non-religious. So whatever your religion is, we do have no interest. We're more interested in bringing people together and valuing and honoring your beliefs and your integrity and your value. And even simple things like forgive and forget, we have so much righteousness about myths, and forgive and forget is silly. Your daughter is killed by a drunk driver, you're not going to forget that. It doesn't work that way. Here on this planet, we don't operate in those realms. And how do we ingest spiritually, emotionally, and physically, and financially to come together and be closer in intimacy and love? And I think that's what's why Project Forgive is so popular, because it's straight frickin' talk.
Well, you know, it is a leadership skill, and that's one of the talking points that I had. I wanted you to expand on. How do we get our audience to actually see forgiveness as a leadership skill?
Yeah, and you know, there's folks like Richard Branson and even Desmond Tutu, who endorses us now. They use those skills and talk about it in the leadership realm of possibility, because think about it. You know, you're at work, you're on a team, and one of the teammates, you're both up for promotion, and then they get the job, and now you got to work with them, and you hate their guts. You're like, ugh, how do you get through that, break through that resentment or that bitterness that you didn't get that job? This is just working day to day, right?
Yeah.
And how do you work through that so you can work with this person productively moving forward on a team? And so a lot of the skills that we do are about accepting the apology you'll never receive as a leader. Because sometimes leaders, I'm sure you've done this, Sita, I'm sure you've done this. Someone's accused you of something, you've done nothing wrong, and because you're a leader and because you're mature and you completely drop your defensiveness, you can say something like, I am so sorry, even if you did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Especially if you've done nothing wrong.
With me having 18 brothers and sisters, I've had to forgive a lot of people a lot of times. And I am so sorry. I meant to send you a copy of the book, but I forgot. But I'll send it for you.
No worries. That sounds good.
Yeah, we've had to forgive. Now, Ellen Little, my co-host, was saying to me, she says, I want to hear more about the gossip expert and forgiveness. What's the connection here?
Yeah. Oh, love it. Yeah, I have a PhD in communication. And I focused on gossip very specifically because I started reading about it and learning about it as a scholar. Two things grabbed me right out of the gate. One was that when we think gossip, we think mean and nasty. Isn't that what you think?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's not what the
drama.
Research shows
we think
all.
Drama.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's not what the research shows at all. That mean, nasty stuff is only about 5-7%. Good gossip or word of mouth is the best form of advertising that exists on the planet. I mean, we used good gossip theory to grow Project Forgive. Good stuff can really come out of good gossip. And then the second reason I was so enthralled with it is it says a lot about where a word comes from. And the word gossip comes from the word God-sib, meaning close to God.
Really? Well, look what you're learning, Viewpoint with Sita and Co. So repeat that. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's powerful.
That is.
It comes from the word God-sib, meaning close to God. And what would happen in like the 8th, 9th, and 10th centuries, the doulas, the women delivering babies, they would deliver a baby. They were called God-sibs. And then they would spread the precious word that a precious child of God was born in the community. And so many things happened over time to give it a bad connotation. Even men were called gossips, like in the 15th, 16th century. Women started getting that word attached to them when we moved into the witch phase and all that. There's a beautiful, rich history around the meaning of gossip. And so I have a very different frame of the word gossip, especially watching Gossip Theory grow Project Forgive to reach millions each month, you know?
Wow, that's really powerful. So what are some of the misconceptions around forgiveness? Why do some people find it so difficult to let it go, like frozen? Let it go.
Yeah. The biggest one I'd say hands down that I hear on a daily basis is forgive and forget. That you're a bad person if you don't forgive them and forget it. that's just not the case. It's, forgiveness is so personal. It's a personal experience, and we all do it in our own time and in our own way. And another big myth is fast forgiving. People think if they forgive very fast that, you know, they'll be better for it. But the truth is, if you forgive fast and don't work through the emotions, there's many emotions to the process of forgiveness, you actually do other activities in your life that keep those emotions down, like overeating, gambling, sex addiction, alcoholism, drug addiction, because there's phases and a process to forgiveness. And there's you know, different researchers say different things about forgiveness. Dr. Wayne Dyer, who I love, says there's 11 steps. Other researchers say there's 3. I've culminated in my expertise that there's 5. And it goes shock, anger, grief, acceptance, and peace. Shock, anger, grief, acceptance, and peace. And the most difficult part of forgiveness, in my estimation, and my being around forgiveness, is grief. It is so scary to be so vulnerable and allow the grief to come. And quite frankly, though, grief is what transforms us.
Yeah, it sounds like Kubler-Ross. It sounds like in nursing when they taught us the 5 stages of a person who's dying. And similar, you know, the anger and the acceptance and the grief. But, you know, this, when the inability to forgive affects so many people, we've seen generations, families, cousins don't speak to cousins. Sisters and brothers don't speak to each other. And sometimes you go to a graduation ceremony where a child is graduating from law school or med school or maybe opening a business or something, and they've got relatives in town, but they don't, they're not there. And you wonder what happened to these wonderful families when they were children and lived in the same home, and all of a sudden everybody has fallen apart. And I think a lot of it has to do with something happened somewhere that someone could not forgive.
You're coming right back to leadership, Sita, because it will take the leader in the generation of families to come to remember who they are, that they're forgiving, that they're loving, that we're very complex human beings. We all screw up. And it's going to take a leader to cause something different to happen in generations of family systems.
And a lot of families have elders who are not actually unifiers. They're dividers. Because some people find such joy in dividing their families. And I've seen it, you know, having 18 brothers and sisters again, I've seen it, and I've seen where there's like loyalties too. Like you'll have 2 sides, one against the other. One set of siblings will pick this side and the other side pick the other side. And the thing is, at the end of life, everybody has missed out on beautiful friendships and relationships. And it's not good enough just to have a huge family gathering and say, oh, we're all happy. Yeah. Of course, they could use the banyan. We'll be you know, but the thing is, you'll see people that all of a sudden they're wearing the T-shirts and a family reunion and this and that. But along the way, years had passed before they got to that point. So how can we help human beings to say, you know what, enough is enough.
Well, I want to throw one thing in. One of my favorite books is by Fred Luskin, Forgive for Good. And that was like my aha moment of, because I come from a big family too. I've got 8 brothers and sisters, and all of them, although I don't really have trouble with any of them myself, many of them don't talk to each other. And I had to come to that realization too. So that was the book that kind of changed my world as far as the forgiveness factor.
We need some alcohol to go with the Irish party of family.
I'm telling you, there's just not enough vodka.
Party at the
not enough vodka.
Dr. Luskin is a pioneer. Dr. Luskin rocks.
And I
love
him.
The folks, Tom, like at the Banyan, what I want to say is a lot of times when, you know, you were saying families go into the negative aspect, a lot of times it's a habit. And I bet Tom and his crew could tell you they hear the same problems over and over and over on events, the same fights, because it becomes a habit. And it takes making the unconscious conscious. It admits that leadership skill. So one of the tools that we do that has gotten world-renowned, that even was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, it's because it's so progressive in its leadership, and it's called Accepting the Apology You'll Never Receive. And this is an internal process. Do I have like a couple of seconds to tell you the story of it and how it evolved? And
yes,
what it is?
I would love to, but I just want to do just let us, our listeners know that who we're speaking to a couple of times. We just have to announce it. I mean, you're so wonderful. We would like our listeners to know on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends that we're speaking with Dr. Shawnee Duperron, and she has a PhD in gossip and social media, topping over 100 million per month. And Shawnee is considered to be one of the most innovative speakers and consultants of communication today. And I am so honored to have her on our show.
Aww.
And she's going to talk to us a little bit more about forgiveness. And she was talking about something. She just mentioned something to Tom, what he sees with guests that come over to the Banyan. So, yes, go for it. Tell us.
Yeah. And is Tom nodding his head saying,
yes,
yep.
I am.
He's taking notes, actually, and he writes very nice.
Very cool. So here's how this accepting the apology you'll never receive started. I have this neighbor, and I call him Bob. And he's one of those people that every time I see him, I start to twitch and I get annoyed. Do you ever have someone in your life that you just look at them and you just go, ugh?
Yeah.
Right? I don't care if you're the forgiveness lady or if you're Gandhi himself.
Amen.
People are going to annoy you, right?
Yes.
And so, like, this is what would happen. I'd go out to my mailbox, and I'd see him, and he'd go, good morning, Sean. And I could feel myself, you know, go, I'm like, yeah, but Bob, you know, it's 6 p.m., and he'd say, this is the truth. I am not joking. This is not made up, okay? He'd say something like, I know, but you look like you just got up, okay? Mm-hmm. That was the energy of this guy, and he just drove me crazy. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm an expert in gossip. Am I practicing what I preach? Because every time I encounter Bob, my neighbor, his experience of me is that I'm a mean, nasty woman. And that ain't going to work for me, okay? So what can I do internally to shift who I'm being around him? So, because it has nothing to do with him. It's about me.
Right. So change your attitude. So you have to change your own attitude and behavior to be accepted by Bob, probably.
Yeah. And here's the tool. Here's the tool. It's called accepting the apology. I pretend in my mind's eye that he's apologizing. So as soon as I see him, I start saying in my head, he's saying, oh, Dr. Shawnee, I'm so sorry. Every time I see you, I put my foot in my mouth. I'm so socially awkward. The truth is, I really just want you to like me and adore me, and I'm so embarrassed about my social skills. Would you forgive me?
Now, that's really not. That's a really good tool, because how many of us come across people, whether it's in the grocery store, on the airplanes, you're driving. I'm going to try that. If I see somebody mean, I'll pretend I'm that person in my head and apologize to myself on behalf of that person. That's actually, that's like the power of positive energy flowing.
Yeah. Absolutely. It changes everything. We do this in corporations.
I think Joanne wants to add something to us. Well, she normally doesn't talk on the radio, but there she is. You're making her say something, which is awesome.
Yes. And Dr. Sally Shin, she's she works with children in Brevard and is an excellent person. It was a neighbor of ours, and I was going through, you know, being a mom of a teenager, and I'm like, you know, this is her expertise. And she said, you have to, you know, break the cycle. You have to look at somebody with love. And even if they're not saying, you know, saying something different, you have to change how you are seeing the situation. And it worked. It was like magic. And I was like amazed. And then talking about forgiveness on our highway, there's a poster or a billboard that says, forgive and don't make an excuse. And I thought, wow. Because you say you're sorry, but then you always have to, like, defend yourself. And a person who's getting apologized to doesn't want to hear that. That's trying to absolve yourself even further, where forgiveness things needs to be a total giving thing. And I thought, wow, that was a whole different
mindset. It's powerful.
Mindset.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it goes without my mother only went to school maybe till second standard, which in our country is grade 2 here. And she used to tell us all the time that age and life experience trumps anything, no pun intended. It brings a lot of wisdom. And that's what it is, I think, is, you know, as you grow older and bolder, you learn so many things. You say it and you walk away, I think, instead of trying to expand on it, right?
Yeah. And even mastering tools like this tool of the apology, you can become so masterful at it that you can soothe yourself on a dime. Because it's great to see people lovely and all that, but in the moment when you want to kill them, that's when you're most tested. That's when it's the hardest. And doing those mantras of pretending that they're apologizing to you actually feels like it's real. Research shows this works. Because when we have the beautiful control of our thoughts and decide how we're going to think about something, that's what alters us as well, and we can alter and shift our being on a dime.
Well, and I read on your website where it says that research also shows that when we're hurting and we're finding it hard to forgive someone, we also view the world in such a negative way. And that is so true, because how many times you hear people say, well, misery likes company. And that's true. Miserable people just love when other people are miserable. They don't like a sunny, bright person around them at all, because it takes away from their miserableness, I think.
Yeah.
But we have a couple of minutes left, and with those minutes, we wanted to ask you, your latest announcement, is there a movie coming up or something?
We do have the movie coming out. I can't say yet, because we're bartering a deal right now. And so I don't know how it's going to evolve in the next couple of months. The best place to connect with us is on our website and on Facebook. We do Facebook Lives all the time, lots of activity and energy on Facebook with Project Forgive. So all the updates will definitely be there, and the movie is very close. It'll be free.
Right, and give us your website, too. I'm sure our listeners would love it.
ProjectForgive.org. It's ProjectForgive.org. And on Facebook, it's just Project Forgive.
Do you ever come to Brevard County, Florida? Because if you do, there's a beautiful hidden gem located in Malibu called the Banyan Estate. We'd love to have you there for a speech or some. I'll cook some curry chicken and
rice. I was just
going
to say, curry chicken's in your future if you come.
And I can also make a very good vegetarian shepherd's pie.
Is it near Tampa?
No, it's on the other
side.
I'll let Tom.
Okay.
Tom knows where
I have a house in Tampa. I can tell you it's 168 miles door to door.
Oh, great.
Well, you know what I was thinking about doing, Dr. Shawnee Duper,
yeah.
Ron? I was thinking one day, you know, I've met such wonderful people on Facebook, and they all have a story to tell. And everybody is nice. Everybody wants to be loved and appreciated at the end of the day. And I said to my husband, if the good Lord helps me to get a little more change, I'm going to have a party, go through my Facebook list, and invite the people that I like and I know can probably afford to fly to Florida and have a nice party. And I think it would be really fun, and maybe get a couple of speakers, and I would love to have you as one of them. Because, I mean, this whole thing about
connections. And you have a band. You have an opening band.
And,
you know that.
Yeah. we're communicating through the phone and on Facebook and social media, but would it be wonderful to meet the people that actually made a difference with Ellen and I on the show, and all our listeners to actually meet in person? Can you imagine?
It's like TED Talk for positive affirmation.
Oh, that's cool. I think Ellen and Tom were speaking about playing the ukulele, because they're both musicians as well. We have a lot of talent in our studio today.
Oh, wow.
That's right. And we have enjoyed spending this half hour with you. I can't believe the half hour is over already.
That went quick.
But thank you so much for calling in, and we look forward to our next adventure together, whatever that looks like.
Oh,
yes,
I look forward to it.
I will keep up. I'll keep in touch with you. Thank you so much for taking the time and effort to call in on our show.
Thanks, Doctor.
My pleasure. Have a delicious day.
Thanks. So we are going to hear from our sponsors very quickly for a few minutes, and then we're going to be right back to talk about Banyan Estate.
Right. I told him to only run to it.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores, and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. What a great first half hour we had with Dr. Shawnee Duperron. My God, for her to reach over 100 million people per month with Project Forgive, that is huge.
And she knows all of our favorite authors, or maybe we know all of her favorite authors.
Yes.
However that's supposed to work.
And it's a topic that you and I talk about a lot on
our show, right?
And so, Ellen, our second segment is all about weddings and meetings and gatherings and events and just letting your hair down.
Wedding bells
and
having
fun.
In the background here.
Well, you know, my youngest daughter, my little Jasmine, is getting married to Talbot Allen, and she's our attorney. We've been very proud of her and all her accomplishments. And she chose a place in Malabar Road called the Banyan Estates. And one of the things I remembered about meeting Joanne, the first day that Jasmine and Kimberly and I went, was she took us to see this beautiful banyan tree outside. And that tree brought back a lot of memories because it is a tree that's native to India. It's part of the mulberry family. It's an enormous tree with so many, it's such vast history. And I read once that people would meet under the banyan trees to have meetings because it provided a lot of shade. And I when I met you and I went home and I said, let me read more about this banyan tree. And it says that Alexander the Great, it is said that he camped under a banyan tree that was large enough to shelter his army of 7,000 men. Amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is. And so when you think about the banyan tree, it offers comfort and shelter. And so it's such a fitting name for a place that people would use to go and have an event or wedding or whatever it is. It's just the name is comfortable, make you feel calm to show up there and have a good time.
Yeah.
So welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Ellen, you've met them. They're wonderful.
I have. And if you have not been on Instagram, Joanne just showed me their Instagram page. You should just go to the Instagram page and look at all of these fabulous pictures from these different events. And you can see the building and you can see the grounds and you can see the activity
and
that's going on
tree.
There. And the banyan tree, absolutely. So right now, if you are on Facebook, switch over to Facebook, switch over to Instagram and go check out Banyan Estates.
Or you can go to the Banyan Facebook page too.
Oh, right. Is it on there too?
Oh, yeah,
all right,
do,
so
yeah.
Like the page.
The
So we're going to start off the show. I'm going to have Tom. I almost said Tom and Jeanette. The people who bought our house
right.
in Tortoise Island is Tom and Jeanette.
Right.
So Tom and Joanne is here. So Tom, either you or Joanne, tell us how you acquired the Banyan Estates.
I'm going to let Joanne start with that
one.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
You're making her brave.
Well, this is a crazy story. I was a realtor and with, can I say a company?
Yes.
Trafford Realty. A wonderful real estate company, and of course the market was down, and I'm thinking, well, part of me loves design too, and I was thinking, what if we could find a really cute little church to live in, make it into a house? How cool would that be? And I'm looking on LoopNet, and I see this building, you know, and I'm like, wow, this building. And at the time we were living in a luxury condo. And Tom was making cheese, and it was like, cheese kind of stinks. And I was thinking, well,
that
maybe.
That was a hobby that I was
yeah.
yeah, I was going to say.
And cheese, oh, yeah, it really, yeah, well, And so commercial real estate was down, all real estate was down, but everything was so ugly. The buildings are all on busy streets, there are no trees. And, of course, being a residential real estate person, not thinking, you know, well, commercial, that's why they want them on busy streets. So I tell Tom about the building. Sure enough, I'm thinking, because he's very logical, he's going to say, are you out of your mind? But he says no. He loves the building too, and so it just becomes a journey. And we really felt it was a call from God. And you know, 3 years later, and 150% over budget, we're still going, was this a call from God? We start questioning ourselves. But it's amazing, the people that have been brought to us have come through the Banyan and the ceremonies that we have seen. It's just, it's life changing. Our life has changed. So. No longer the real estate financial hat. It's more now of a life hat, and it's a living.
Well, you're
we're
part
living
of people's
now.
Lives now,
right?
Right. So, Tom, so here we have a couple, and they're engaged. Now what? What happens next? Speak to the young people out there that we're going to get a ring, and we're going to get engaged, and we're going to get married, and then what?
Well, you know, it's funny. Some of our couples come to us, and they have a pretty good idea. You know, they want to get married on a certain date. They want to start over. Here's our planning and everything else. And a lot of times I'll ask, well, what kind of themes, what kind of colors, what's your flowers, you know, all that kind of stuff, just to get them talking a little bit, to be able to express to us what they want to do. But there's a few of them come with that deer in the headlight kind of look on their face, like, oh my gosh, what do I do? So traditionally, and I use that word kind of interspersed here, because tradition is kind of all out the window now.
Yes.
Our new generation.
People just want the part A.
Couples, yeah, that's right. are not necessarily following the traditions that we had when we were all growing up, but they're forging new ones. And that's the thing. It's not the kind of the old school things. They're creating these new traditions that are kind of interesting. So I digress a little bit. So when they come to us, I love to have a chance to sit down and just say, tell me what you're thinking. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? How do you want to do it? And I think that's a really important thing, is for them to, if they haven't really thought through it, start thinking about the ideas about what they want to do from a budget standpoint, how big of an affair they want, how many people, all that kind of stuff. And it's really important to start creating a game plan, because you don't need to make it complicated, but you do need to have a plan.
Right. And the number one question, too, they would want to know, what resources are available to help?
Well, there's a lot of resources. And so Joanne and I love to say, oh, gee, it's the matrimony industrial complex at play here, because there's so many things that you can get involved with. There's the caterers, the flowers, the decorators, the dress, the cake, the band, the DJ, all that kind of stuff. And so there's lots of things to think about. But I think the key part is an understanding the things that are probably their most limited resource. And you know, to my benefit, and Joanne and I obviously feel good about this, but to the others that are looking for them, the venue is the hard part, because there's only, if you like that venue and you have a specific date, there's only one venue and one date that you can go, you know, use. So it's a limited resource. So that's usually the place that people will start with first. And then they'll start going into some of the other vendors that they need to work with, like the caterers and the DJs and things that are limited, but not quite as much as the venue.
Right.
And then they'll start working down the game plan on that. But the key part is, I always tell a lot of our couples, is keep it simple. Keep it so that you can go do the plan as you want to without putting a lot of stress on yourself.
And don't hang your hat where you can't reach it.
That's right.
Because afterwards, that's a nanny ride.
That's a nanny ride.
Right. I like that.
Right. So for our guests, our listeners who are tuning in, our in-studio guest this afternoon is Tom and Joanne Murdoch, and they are the owners of the beautiful Hidden Gem. It's Florida's Hidden Gem in Malabar, Florida. It's a 1920s historic property, and it's perfect for any couple that wants both elegance and character on their day, on their perfect day, right? Mm-hmm. So what does a couple expect on the day of the wedding?
Ooh.
That's a loaded question, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on.
Well, it is. And, you know, the day of when the wedding is actually going to occur, I always tell the families and the couples themselves, look, you've made all your plans. You've got everything in place. You've kind of worked through all the issues that you have. Now you need to leave it in the hands of the owners of the venue, the planners, and the vendors that you've hired to do the job for you and let it work. you know, we do ask.
And hopefully you made all your deposits and they didn't book somebody else.
The vendors will take care of that. And the venue, we certainly try to make sure where there's no conflict like that. But the key part of it is once you get to that day, you just enjoy the day and let all the people behind the scenes that are hired to do it make sure that day
happens. Yeah,
because
that's their job.
That's their job.
Well, you know, Jasmine, what she said to me was, I want you, Mom, to have a great time. So I'm hiring an event planner. And I was really, to be quite honest, I was hurt. I was like, what? I can multitask. I run my campaign. I work full time. I had my radio show. I managed a house, properties, whatever. And you're telling me that I can't manage a wedding? But I'll be honest, after sitting down with our wedding planner, I was amazed because I've known Jenny for a long time. But she is an expert at what she does, and she is perfect. She's more organized than I ever would be. And Jasmine and her has this open communication with the contracts and everything. And she's going to make sure that the day goes by really great at the Banyan.
Yeah,
I will be relaxing that day. I don't know about the bride, but right. I'm going to have a good time.
So I'm going to tell a little bit of a tale out of you know, hopefully I don't embarrass Joanne too much. But when we got married many years ago, it's actually over 37 years now.
You guys look good.
Thanks.
Wow.
We had a very, very small budget. It was measured in a few $100s range. And we ended up doing a lot of the work ourselves. And, you know, I give Joanne so much credit that, you know, she worked through the night before the wedding.
She really wanted to marry you, Tom.
Yeah, she did. And I really wanted to marry her, too. But she worked all night. And she did a lot of the work on the flowers and everything else. And that whole element of, you know, hey, we only got so much money, but, you know, there's a few things that we're going to go do, and we're going to do it. Well, we had a great wedding, and don't get me wrong, but the one thing that I would have loved is if she didn't have had to do all the stress and strain of putting it together by herself.
It would have been easier on her.
It would have been
so much
easier.
Yeah, because you get tired, right?
Oh, yeah, I was oblivious by the end of the evening. And it gets back to the couples. They're always like thinking initially, well, we can party all night. And it's like, no, you know, by 10 o'clock, you're going to be wanting to get rid of these people and you're going to want to leave and start that, you know, honeymoon. So it's interesting that we would talk about wedding planners because initially, not really being in the business, we had to have them. They came to us because they saw our venue taking shape and they liked it. And I'm like, well, really, how hard can this be? I mean, you know, and as the more that we're, you know, in the profession, the more we see, the more we realize their worth, similar to almost a lot of professions, what they bring to the party, and you want the professionals. You want people to, you know.
Somebody that's going to give you a guiding hand.
Right.
Right.
And be able to go through all the things that you may not have thought about when it comes to all the details ahead.
Right. Mm-hmm. And one of the great things about the Banyan is they're able to accommodate both intimate and large parties and have plenty of room outside as well as inside, which is very rare in the Sunshine State, right? Mm-hmm. But you guys have the 2-foot ceilings throughout the historic building. You have the dimmable.
Foot. Yeah, I was hoping that'd be 20
foot. 20 foot.
They're more like 12, but.
Yeah.
Okay, I wonder why
big ceilings.
Yeah.
Big ceilings.
Yeah, I wonder why I got that.
Did that come off our website?
Yeah, somebody better fix that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. 2-foot ceilings, we're going to be
20,
crawling around.
Right. See, as you could see, it's a copy and paste.
See that.
Like she says, copy and paste. Yeah. Yeah. And
no,
so
no, I've got a zero.
So it's 20 foot.
12 foot.
12. Maybe there's one just in print.
Just one.
So we have to make a correction for that. So exposed rafters in the pavilion, and handcrafted floors, on-site menu manager, original historic windows. Then you have, which I really like, is a complimentary parking. You have the bridal prep room, which I saw and I love it. Oh, I wanted to cry. How many moms probably cry in there?
A lot.
On-site parking. And what about the tables and chairs? How many guests can you seat?
We have tables and chairs that we can accommodate to about 150 is what we say. We have a few more just because you never know when you might need a few more, but about 150 is a good number.
Perfect.
Yep.
And one of the questions that I had on my Facebook Messenger this morning was, what about a payment schedule? Can the bride and groom speak to you ahead of time and make a schedule with you for payments?
Yeah. Typically what they'll do is they'll put an initial payment down, probably about a third or so. And then usually we break up the last two payments into equal parts and have it 6 months out and 2 months out.
Check their credit, too. Yeah. Some people might come and party hardy and then forget about paying.
Well, the thing of it is, usually in this business especially, a lot of that stuff is already all paid up, you know, in, before the wedding and the event happens.
Well, you know what? Get the mother and father to sign something. That's probably the best. So when can people start decorating if they're bringing in a decorator for the banyan?
I'm going to let Joanne take that because she's the one that usually starts off the opening up the place and letting the couples come in and start decorating.
Well, they have the venue usually for 10 hours, and so it's typically guests are at a venue for about 4 or 5 hours. So you've got that time before that your caterer is going to come in, that your florist is going to come in, and your DJ is going to come in. And these professionals usually take 2 to 3 hours to, you know, get everything set up. And then a couple normally comes maybe an hour or so before their ceremony, because the photographers love to take pictures of them getting ready, different shoots throughout. We have great outdoor space for photography, great indoor space for photography. As a matter of fact, our venue, I hate to pat myself on the back, but I will. Amazing windows throughout, and the photographers are just
the lighting is
amazing. Yeah.
And what I really like what Jasmine said when she saw the Banyan Estates was she loved the backup plan. Most brides want that backup plan, because if you plan only to get married outside and then all of a sudden it starts pouring, what do you do?
Yeah.
So you have the inside, you have the halls inside as well.
Yes, and it's never a stepchild. We'll say half of our, probably 3/4 of the brides think they're getting married outside. And when they see the upstairs room, which is the backup room, half of them even change and they're just saying, no, we're just going to get married inside. And then we'll party outside.
Yes.
You know, we'll get the games outside. And you know, the upstairs is a game changer, and all the ones that are getting married outside know it's as easy to put chairs upstairs as it is to put it on the grass. So
amazing. So, like, what, you know, most time, if you go to the Crown, oftentimes they want you to have a certain amount of people. What is the least amount that you could have for a party? Like, if somebody wanted to have a baby shower or a bridal shower or a birthday party.
Or a speaking event.
Family reunion.
Like a retreat.
Do you have, like, a certain head count that you have? Because, I mean, it's a lot to open the venue, and then you have to have someone clean it and take care of, you know, business, right? So how much is too much, or how little is too little?
We like to think that if somebody's having a party of less than 20, they probably would do well to maybe rent a restaurant, because
right.
They've got their food and a room that can accommodate them. When you get past 25, then it's harder to find the restaurants that can accommodate a large party.
You know,
so,
yes.
I'm going to add something to that, because I think it's an interesting question. You know,
yeah.
Because we really haven't talked about the building and stuff like that, but it's an old 1927 school building that was built by the county. And it's absolutely beautiful. It's a big two-story. It's got over 8,000 square feet.
The color is beautiful.
But it's divided into three big rooms. And what I love about that is that unlike like a big open ballroom or even some of the barns you see out there today, you know, they're very popular. But the nice thing is we are like a big house. We are like a big place that you can have multiple kind of
events
and things. Well, we only do one event at a time.
Okay.
But we have kind of different spaces. So there might be a place that they're having dancing, but then there's a nicer quiet place that people can have a conversation and enjoy a drink.
I call it the palace.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's like a palace.
And so then, you know, when we get a smaller group, they might only want to use one of the rooms, but you get a larger wedding going on and people are all over the building or outside.
Or if you have family members that don't get along,
that's right,
one group will go upstairs, one will go downstairs, one will go in the front, and nobody knows. But we like that, because we were saying, me and the son, I like to be inside.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you'll find out with a lot of people, they don't want to be out in the hot sun. And some girls don't want to ruin their makeup, so they'll stay inside. But others love being outside, so they'll go outside.
Yeah, and that's the beauty, is that we have those spaces, and they almost have different kind of vibes going on in any given event that we've got. So that's kind of fun.
Well, Ellen, let's ask him for the address for the Banyan Estates.
Yes, and I just liked the Facebook page, and I just went to the Instagram page, so everybody should go to that.
Yeah, so the Facebook and the Instagram is the Banyan Estate, either hashtag or ampersand. And then, not ampersand, at.
at.
Now, for people who are staying out of town guests, do you all recommend any hotels close by and things like that?
There's a lot. We tell people, especially when they're coming from out of town, especially this time of year, the beach hotels are great. You know, anything that's out there on the beach, and they can usually block a room. There's a couple local ones around in Malabar that are also really good for us. And they all will set up blocks of room, things like that.
And the most important, food. Do you recommend any caterers, or do you give them a list that they can choose from?
Yes, we do have a list of vendors that we ask them to use. We have some of the best caterers that do a lot of the wedding activity in the county. They're all very, we vetted them because they've all worked with us before. They know how to work at our place, and it gives our brides and grooms and all of our couples, you know, plenty of choices to find what they want. For that kind of stuff. So we have a lot of good recommendations and things like that.
Right. And security. It's a very secure location.
It's kind of out in the sticks a little bit. It's kind of surrounded by a lot of conservation
land. It's
very
plantation, as I was looking at the
pictures. Four to 700 acres behind us of all conservation land. We only have a few neighbors, and they're all across the street, and we all know them well. But, you know, even a little bit of noise that we can do with our DJs and our band, we don't usually have any problems with that.
Not like a Trinidadian wedding where they have big drums.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's kind of like dueling fun. Drums. Huh? The bride side meets in the center of the road, and the groom side meets in the center of the road, and they play these drums, and then who dances the most gets to pass, and if you don't, you don't get to go by. It's kind of fun. But
wow. I mean, that sounds like fun.
It's
there's
amazing.
Tradition.
Yeah. You know, when my brother got married, the bride will be at her home if they're having a house wedding, or they'll be at a venue. But if it's a house wedding, it's actually the best because the entire village shows up to be part of the bride's side, and these drums start playing, and that groom, that car ain't going nowhere. And then they have to start paying money to pass. It's called, you pay some money to pass, and the big money, you get to pass, go quickly to see your bride.
Well, and, you know, it's funny you talk about, like, the
traditions.
Trinidad and stuff like that, and traditions. What I love is the fact that, you know, in our culture today, we have such kind of it's a big mixing bowl, and it continues to be, right? We have all kinds of different traditions and people from other countries and everything else. And it's really fun to see some of the things that they bring to the parties now. And that's a pun, bring it to the party.
Right.
But they do. They bring in all these really fun things. And we've had more fun in just the number
watching
of years
and learning.
Is being there and being part of that.
Right, right.
And seeing that stuff. We just love the things that people want to bring to the parties, and the kind of traditions, and how the family is the important part.
The interaction.
That's right. And so even if it's a couple that's coming from different parts of the world, just to see how those get blended and how the families adopt them, you know, it's really fun.
Well, you know, weddings traditionally have always been where two families meet, hearts, minds, souls, cultures, and it always was that a son-in-law actually becomes a son, and a daughter-in-law becomes a daughter. But I think so many families have gotten away from that love. It's not only about the wedding and the party. Afterwards, the respect and the love and commitment for that couple should come from the family, that you want them to thrive and you want them to grow and flourish and have a home and have children and move on. And you should be there to catch them if they fall, so that people are not getting divorced. Traditionally, marriages has always been about two families meeting and offering support to these two young people so that they can have a good life. And that's what I think, like when I think of Jasmine and Talbot, that's why we're here and we're so involved. But do you see a lot of people being involved with the bride and the groom, or just certain people?
I think the people that we've attracted are close families, and we are seeing that blending. And it is an important thing. And we have, you know, said, oh, we've been entrusted with such an important thing in people's lives. And how you explained the whole situation, Sita, is like it culturally, it's always been a very strong thing, and to bring a healthy society, you know, just it doesn't need to be a fancy this or that, but it is a commitment of people, and it is bringing
it takes
together.
A village,
it
right?
Takes a village.
It really does,
exactly. Yeah,
because you know when I was a little girl, you know, in our culture they put so much. You know, so much stock in skin color. And the dark-skinned Indian girls, we were worried because they would say, well, they won't get a husband. They're too dark. But the very light girls, I mean, you would see I mean, I remember it being in our gallery, in our upstairs gallery, watching us the porch, whatever they call it in the United States. I'm not sure, but you know, when the bride and the groom were leaving the village to go to the groom's home, they would play these beautiful Indian songs on these big microphones on top of the car. And they would play the beautiful songs, and you would see the bride and the groom in the car in the back seat, and us little girls upstairs. Each girl knew when they were going to get married. But the dark girls, like myself, we always had this secret fear that we would never be in that situation where we would be in that car with the beautiful red velvet pillows and a groom with her, because you could see them in the car. And I remember saying, gee, I'll never have a wedding like that with music and car and people, because all the cars would follow the groom home. Mm-hmm. And they would honk horns and throw flowers, and people had garlands, and it was kind of nice. So I always thought of a wedding of whether the bride is leaving to go live with her in-laws or with the groom, the village was losing someone and another village was gaining someone. And so oftentimes you will hear like, well, this girl left the village and now she's going to this temple or this church. But she brought with her whatever her parents instilled in her, which was a foundation for life. And some villages would say, well, we got somebody in this village who weren't very nice. Or they'll say, well, so-and-so daughter came to this village, or so-and-so son, but he brought with him love and culture and compassion and hard work and sacrifice. So it was kind of like, you know, the marriages were part of life. Mm-hmm. It really, even we saw that here.
Part of the community.
We see that here in the United States as well. People get all, you know, a big hoopla and drama on Facebook when two people are getting married who are very wealthy. But really, what are you bringing to the community? I like what you said, and it is a community
it is
effort,
a community.
Right?
Yeah.
So how long has the Banyan been in existence? How many years have it been there?
We've been doing weddings for about a year and a half, it's, you know, so we're so excited to welcome the new couples and the new families, the parties.
To be part of it all.
To be part of
and
the community.
We have one minute left.
1 minute left. Really quick, why the name Banyan? If you could say that in 1 minute.
Well, the tree.
The tree.
The tree,
okay.
Which is unusual for the Space Coast.
And the website?
Yes. The website is, Tom, do you want to?
Sure.
You said
www.banyanvenue.com. That's BanyanVenue.com.
And the email address is info@banyanvenue.com. Or if you'd like to call, 536. My glasses are bad.
9080.
You know, the good thing is if you Google it, it comes right up.
It does.
And
it does.
I love it. I just this morning, you know, Jasmine forgot it on the invitation. So we went Banyan Estates, boom, Malabar Road, Marie Street, blah, blah. And it's so beautiful. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Tom and Joanne, thank you so much for being here with us and sharing Banyan Estates with us. We'll make sure we get the word out to everyone. And thank you to our first caller. You got so good at her name.
Dr. Shawnee Duperville.
There you go, for calling in earlier. And we will be back right here live next Monday, 1 o'clock.
You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.